Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. What a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for our people, our members, but for whoever would come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Judges, the Old Testament, the book of Judges, chapter 16, and we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 21. For Moses, a very familiar passage of Scripture and a Bible character named Samson. And even if you don't know your Bible that well, I'm sure that you have heard of Samson and Delilah and the story that is associated with one of the judges of Israel, and that being Samson. And so Judges chapter 16, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 21. Verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when she, Delilah, pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up and unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it is to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in this place. But now, Father, as we have opened up the Bible, your preserved word for mankind, and we are looking into this story in the life of Samson. And Lord, we've just read this passage of Scripture. I know that you have a message for each one of us that are here today from this passage of Scripture. And I just pray, God, that you would just, Lord, help each one to have that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to them. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before Samson and Delilah, before he met Delilah, he had judged God's people Israel for 20 years. Samson had a kind of a rough beginning, but then as far as we know, he surrendered to the Nazarite vow that he had been born to. And we find in verse 20 of chapter 15, the Bible says, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And so he had been judging judging Israel, God's chosen people, for 20 years before he met Delilah. And then Delilah was hired by the Philistines to deliver Samson. They offered her 1,100 pieces of silver. On her fourth attempt, she had tried three other times, and Samson was somewhat just playing with her and telling her different things concerning where his strength come from. But on her fourth attempt, as we read here in verse 16 and 17, Samson totally yielded to her. And he gave her his heart in presenting to her exactly where he felt that his strength came from. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon my head, for for I have been a Nazarite. He knew that that's what he had committed to, being a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. This leads to one of the saddest, if not the saddest, verse in all the Bible. In verse 20, when it says that he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He thought he could get up and shake himself and go out, not have any consequences to his sins, how he was living his life at this time. Felt like he could go out and have the very same power that God had enabled him with to defeat the Philistines that he had been doing for some 20 years and get the victory over the Philistines that came upon him. The Bible says that he wist not. That means he did not know. He was unaware of what had taken place. If you will, he was ignorant of the fact that God had departed from him. Samson could have and should have known that this would happen. But the scriptures record in verse 20 that he wist not. Can I tell you, in the life that we live today, there are many decisions that we make that have the potential to be life-changing. In order to make the right decisions, we must be informed. If you're going to make a decision in life, the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors are safety, where no counsel is, people fall. That means in whatever area of life that you're going to make a decision, then you need to seek the counsel of somebody who knows all about that and be informed. Get all the facts, get all the evidence that you have, all the information that you can gather to be able to make an informed decision so that you can make a right decision. To make decisions without being informed, without having the information to make a right decision, is very dangerous. The Bible reveals that to make the right decisions that God wants us to make, that we need to be informed and not be ignorant. Ignorant is just not having the knowledge, the insight, the information needed. The Bible says much about this, and if you go to, we're going to take you through a few verses in the New Testament to help you understand what took place with Samson. Then we'll go back to Samson and apply it. But the idea there is this judge of Israel, this mighty man of God that had been defeating the Philistines and judging Israel for 20 years, has now fallen. And as he fell to the Philistines and was taken to the prison house and made fun of and poked out his eyes, and now he is helpless, he's without any strength at all, he wist not. He was ignorant of the fact that God had left him. In the book of Romans in chapter 10 in verses 1 through 4, the book of Romans in chapter 10, the Bible says, "Brethren," as Paul's writing to the believers at Rome, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's my desire for Israel. Israel needs to get saved. They need to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They need to look to him as a Savior of the world. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." They're religious and have a zeal of God, holding on to Old Testament law. "They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." The Bible says that Israel, the Jews, as Christ came, they were ignorant to the fact that he was the Messiah. And Paul says, my desire that all of Israel, all the Jews, receive him to be saved. And they need to get saved like anyone else needs to get saved. They need to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And the price that he paid on Calvary's death was a price paid for their sins. And they, like the Gentiles and all the world, they need to look to Jesus Christ and believe that who he is in order to find this salvation. But the Bible says they were ignorant of believing in Christ. And they, because they were ignorant of what Christ taught, then they developed their own set of rules. And they developed their own set of what was righteous. And the Bible says in order for us to understand true righteousness, that we need to know that it is connected to Jesus Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh to reveal to mankind the righteousness of God. Be not ignorant of the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that has established what is right and what is wrong. He has established righteousness for humanity. God would not have us to be ignorant, but informed. In Romans in chapter 11, verse 25, in Romans in chapter 11, Paul continuing to write to those in Rome, he says this, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in." He was telling them again, they had turned away from what they could have known and been aware of, and the awareness of that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. And yet they were holding on to the fact that they were still Old Testament and that salvation was for the Jews alone. And Paul says, don't be ignorant of this. If you're looking to Jesus Christ, you realize that he has established righteousness, that he is the Messiah, and it's God's will for all people, the Gentiles as well as the Jews, all people, to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. Don't be ignorant to the fact that you need to be saved. That's what the Bible is saying to us. Be informed as to making the most important decision that anyone will make this side of heaven or hell, and that is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What is your beliefs in who he is? What is your commitment to him? What will make the difference between heaven and hell is what an individual does with Jesus Christ, knowing him to be the true Messiah, knowing him to be the Savior of the world, knowing him to be your personal Savior. He died for you, and you need to believe and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible says. Do not be ignorant of the fact that you need Jesus Christ in order to be saved and have eternity, having an eternal home in heaven. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. We find that God has used this word throughout the scriptures, this idea that it is not God's will that any of us be ignorant, uninformed, uneducated. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The same who came and established his church is the same one that they had faith in the Old Testament. They look forward to the coming of the Messiah. They look forward to the coming of Christ. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You're holding on to Old Testament truths. You're holding on to Old Testament law. But the very same one that our fathers looked to in the Old Testament is the very same one that we need to look to today. Amen. Jesus Christ. There's only been one plan of salvation for humanity. In the Old Testament, they looked to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior, and they lived by the law in order to prepare them, to give them an awareness of sin so that they would understand the fact that they could not live a life that would be pleasing to God, a life that would be righteousness enough to get them to heaven. But they would have to trust in the righteousness of a Savior. Amen. Don't be ignorant of this, he says. I want you to understand all of that in order to make the right decision. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact that it's only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that you can fully understand and be equipped to do the work that God has called you to do. You cannot do it on your own. I cannot live the life that God wants me to live. I cannot accomplish the things that God wants me to accomplish. I cannot be the Christian husband. I cannot be the Christian wife. I cannot be the Christian parent. I cannot be the Christian influence on society on my own. I have a need of God's indwelling in within me. I have a need of being enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, which only comes by way of Jesus Christ. Don't be ignorant of the fact that you need the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You need to be aware of God's strength in you to be able to do and live as God would have you to do and live. Don't try to do it on your own. On your own, you cannot. On your own, you cannot be that man. On your own, you cannot be that woman. On your own, you cannot forgive. On your own, the unforgivable. On your own, you cannot love the unlovable. But you don't have to do it on your own. God says, just don't be ignorant of the fact that you, if you have received Jesus Christ, you have what you need within you to do and to be all that God wants you to do and be. Don't be ignorant of that. Be informed. Be aware. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God would have us to be informed and not ignorant. Samson had been informed and he had been looking to God and had been judging Israel for 20 years before he allowed himself to be blinded. And through the blinders became ignorant to several things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope, being ignorant of those that have passed on before us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, for the Christian, when they die a physical death, the Bible says, doesn't say they're dead. It reveals to them as being in sleep. Amen. Just awaiting a time when God's going to give them a glorified body. Understand that their spirit, when the physical body dies, for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't be ignorant to the fact that people, Christians, do not die. They graduate into the presence of God, and one day all of us together will receive a glorified body. And so he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you believe that, and we ought to believe that, if you're saved here this morning, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We will see them again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself doth descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There is life after death. And God says, I don't want my children, I don't want born-again believers to be uninformed. I don't want them to be ignorant of the fact that there is life after death. You do not have to mourn your loved one's death because they are not dead, they're in the presence of God. And what a difference that makes in our existence on this world. I would not have near the peace I do of my mother and my father, my brothers and some of my sisters that have gone on to glory. I would not have near the peace that I do today if I was ignorant or uninformed of the truths that God has given to me concerning where they're at, their existence, and the truth to know that I will see them again. Because I am aware of this, I'm not ignorant of the fact of there is life after death, then I can rejoice when I think about my father. I don't have to think of him as in a grave, in a cold, dark casket. No, he's not there. When I think of my father, I think of him in glory, his spirit being within the presence of God in glory. I rejoice. When I think of my mother, her last words to me the night before she died was she was proud of me in my commitment to serving God. And what brings me joy when I think of her is not only was she proud of me here, she's proud of me in heaven. She's in that heavenly grandstand and she is cheering me on to do the work that God has called me to do. That encourages me to continue to be faithful to God, to accomplish what God has me here to accomplish. When I'm aware of the heavenly grandstand, those that have gone on before me, and if they're saved, they're in the presence of God, and they're in the presence of the angels, and they're in that heavenly grandstand, and they're cheering on the work of God upon this earth today. Can I tell you that does something for me? To know that my brothers that have gone on before me and my sisters that have gone on before me, they're in the presence of the angels of God, and they're cheering for the work of Christ to be accomplished. I'm not ignorant of that. I'm not ignorant of that. I'm not ignorant of the fact that there's life after death. Amen. And because I have been informed and I have that which God has for me, then there is a certain peace in my heart. There is something that motivates me from within that I would not have if I was ignorant of that fact. Amen. That's why he says, don't sorrow as others which have no hope, because you have hope. You have truth. You have information that can sustain you when you lose a loved one in this life. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Be informed. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to go back to Samson here in just right after this. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you as the Apostle Peter. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful. Now he is writing to those believers that have been scattered abroad, that are going through a lot of turmoil in this life. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Basically, the Bible's not true. The prophecies are not true. That's what they say. They're going to be scoffers and going to be teaching and saying those things. For this they willingly are ignorant. Willingly, because they have turned a blind eye to the scriptures. They've turned away from reality. They've turned away from even nature itself and what it prevents, what it reveals as being the ways and ways of God, the revelations of God. This intelligent design that God has revealed to us through nature. But the Bible says they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Just as the Bible says. I don't need to have those that are going to historians, is going to study things that they've never seen or heard, but just have to depend on their own human knowledge. I have the very words of God. So he goes on to say, whereby the world was being overflowed with water perished. That happened. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. I don't have to worry about global warming. Amen. I don't have to worry because God keeps the world in store. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant. Now Peter uses it twice. Be not ignorant. You need to know this. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. One day. And we're wondering, it's only been 2 days since Christ resurrected, and we're wondering why he hadn't returned. Stop thinking humanistically and start thinking spiritually. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. What he's saying is be patient, for Jesus is coming again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. That's why he hasn't returned. He is allowing humanity to have another opportunity, if you will, to be saved. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He's wanting the gospel to be preached around the world. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't look around and say, well, it's been so long a period of time. Evidently, it's not true. He's not coming back. Don't be ignorant of what he's already revealed to you. Don't be ignorant that he's telling you not to think of it in human terms. Look at it in regards to spiritual terms. For the last 2,000 years, the gospel has been taken into all the world. The gospel, there's more presentations of the gospel today than ever before in the history of humanity. There are more churches established around the world today than at any other time in human history. There are more soul winners going out and winning souls to Christ today than at any other time in human history. Can I tell you that God's plan is working? Amen. Don't be blinded by human philosophies and human philosophers. Don't be blinded to the human way of looking at things. You have to understand that God has a way of looking at things, and God's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. If you ever allow yourself to be blinded to this, you will be blinded to the return of Christ. And you will be blinded to the need to continue to serve the Lord. God does not want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be informed. Samson, he wist not. He was ignorant to the fact that God had left him. But it didn't start there. First of all, he was ignorant of his enemy's plan. You say, Delilah? Fourth time. Can I tell you that I don't think Samson was a dingy individual. Some people, you might get it over on four times. Amen? Most people, you might fool me once. And then others, you might fool me twice. And there's some others that say, well, you might fool me three times. But to go through the same process four different times, Samson knew what Delilah was trying to do. He knew that she was the one that called the Philistines in the first time. He knew that she was the only one that he told this lie about where his strength came from. And he wakes up and that's what's happened to him. You put two and two together, no doubt about it. He knew of Delilah. So you say the Philistines. He was ignorant to the fact that the Philistines had hired her. No, because who showed up every time? After the first time, the Philistines showed up and he had to defeat them. The second time, the Philistines showed up. He had to defeat them. He was not ignorant to the Philistines. He was ignorant of his enemy's plan. Someone more powerful than Delilah. Someone more powerful than the Philistines. He lost sight of Satan being the enemy. Can I tell you this morning, there's many Christians that have lost sight of who the true enemy is. And you think you got it handled because you think that enemy is that individual or somebody that's putting that individual up to it. And neither one of those are the ones you need to be mainly concerned about. The one you better be concerned about is the devil himself. 2 Corinthians, let me just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We should not be ignorant of how Satan works. Samson was ignorant of his main enemy was the devil. And he would not be able to overpower the devil without the help of God. He was ignorant to his enemy's plan. He was ignorant to what he thought he could handle. The power of lust. He thought he could handle Delilah. And he did for three different attempts. But eventually the power of lust will overpower you. He finally told her all his heart. He yielded to that. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When lust hath conceived. David thought he could handle one night with Bathsheba. He didn't realize that lust was a powerful tool that Satan used. It wouldn't just get by with one night. Once you did that, then Satan has his claws in David. And he made sure that it was about to go public. He turned David not only into an adulteress, but he turned David into a killer, a murderer, as he murdered Uriah. Lust, one of the most powerful tools that Satan uses, and too often we are ignorant to what we think we can handle. No one knows I can handle this. I can get on the internet and I can do this and I can do that. And as long as I keep it to myself, it's not going to hurt anybody else. I can handle this. Listen to me. You cannot handle lust. Because it's a tool that Satan uses. He was ignorant to what he thought he could handle. And then lastly, most important, he was ignorant of his dependency upon God. See, Samson's hair was symbolic of his Nazirite vow. There was a lot of the vows that he had turned away from. The hair was just the most symbolic of it. The Nazirite vow was Samson understanding that he had dedicated himself to God's will for his life. When he turned away from God's will, he chose Delilah over God when he gave her his heart. He was ignorant of his dependency upon God. And he wished not that the Lord had left him. Above all, today, above all, don't be ignorant of your need for God in your life. I love the song, "I Need Thee Every Hour." The writer says, "I need thee every hour. Stay thou near by. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh." Without being aware of God and my need for God, the temptations will overcome us. But when I understand my help comes from God, and as long as I am aware of my need for Him, and I do what I need to do to keep His power upon my life, I can overcome. And I can live a victorious Christian life. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. He goes on, he says, "I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee." Don't be ignorant of your need for God's presence. Sing it with me. "I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, Savior, I come to thee." Sing it one more time. "I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee." If you'll keep that on your heart and in your mind, and you'll be aware of your need for God's presence, you can live the victorious Christian life. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't be ignorant of our dependency upon God, not only day by day, but hour by hour. Hour by hour, because His presence, with His presence, temptations lose their power. Father, we bow before You. We love you, God, and we thank you that we don't have to be ignorant. We can be informed. You have left us your holy word. You have left us your spirit. You have given to us, established for us your church. We don't have to be ignorant. Help us, God, not to choose willful ignorance. Help us to be aware. Help us to understand our need for you in our lives. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.